Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We're going now to take another step forward in finding the answer to a question before us, why do people not see the Bible alike? Now just now, I want to point out that this series, a three-part series, is largely extracted from a book that was written over 50 years ago by J. Ridley Stroop. These thoughts are certainly not originally mine, but I concur with them and support them heartily. You know what someone has said, and what originality is, that you have forgotten where you got it. Well, I haven't forgotten where this is to be found. There's a book by the title, Why People Do Not See the Bible Alike, by J. Ridley Stroop, and if you could secure a copy, you could make a more extensive study of this theme. But we want to center our thoughts now upon those who have not studied the Word of God and learn why this is so often the case with so many people, because ignorance is at the root of the problem of not seeing the Bible alike. It's one of the primary sources of division. But still, many do not study. And some study and still miss the truth because they're led to think something is true when it is not. But what of those who seemingly never study? Now, the vast majority of people of this country do not study the Bible. It is one of the most often purchased, but one of the least consulted books. Even most religious people do not engage in a serious study of the Bible. Why is this? Well, part of the problem stems from the fact that churches do not stress Bible study. Many of them do not. Others tell their people that only their priest can understand it anyway. Some have accepted the idea that they cannot understand it until there's some kind of direct operation by the Holy Spirit upon them. Therefore, they take the view that Bible study is a fruitless endeavor, and they simply do not do it. When asked why they do not study the Bible, many people, especially people who claim to belong to some denominational church, offer all kinds of defensive answers and excuses. But the real problem with most is that they just do not want to study it. They don't care that much. People generally make a serious effort to do what they generally and really want to do. Now, there are three contributing factors to this attitude of not wanting to study. One is the nature of study itself. And two, the failure to recognize the blessings of Bible study and the importance of it. And three, the lack of conviction for the need of it. Let us reflect on these three things. Study is work. It is some of the hardest work one can do. It is tiresome. It does demand a great deal of self-discipline. It requires time, physical and mental energy. Someone has calculated, I don't know how they did this, but they calculated that 7 hours spent in mental concentration is as exhaustive as a 40-hour week in a purely physical effort. Now, of course, most tasks require some of both. But study demands a tremendous amount of mental effort. It may be too strong to suggest that some are just lazy, even too lazy to go to heaven. They are unwilling to try to learn. In most fields of thought, real study is done by the minority of people involved. This is true in economics, and law, commerce, medicine. It's also true in religion. People want ready-made answers to their questions. They want a shortcut solution. They'd rather somebody tell them than to dig it out for themselves. Now, this might suffice in the mundane and temporal matters of life, but can we rely that much on frail human beings when it comes to the matters of the soul? Some might, because of the inability to learn and to know, but most have far greater capacity to learn than is ever utilized. And the lack of study implies a failure to meet personal responsibility. We often excuse ourselves from Bible study because we have been led to believe, maybe even convinced ourselves, that it's just too hard to understand. Sometimes religious leaders, who prefer to have people follow their lead, will discourage Bible study because they want people to be dependent on them. We are sure that there are many portions of Scripture that are hard to understand. It takes a lot of study to come to an understanding of many parts of it. But much of the Scripture can be easily grasped by people of reasonable intelligence and just the normal amounts of education to read. It takes study to understand the dispensations, the plan of salvation, the requirements of a Christian life, the overall study of the Bible, which is the story of man's redemption. But these things can be understood when sufficient effort is put forth. But some are unwilling to do it. They never come to a knowledge of the truth. You know, just a short while each day would help. Knowledge of the Bible does not just happen, and it does not come overnight. And because this is true, many are discouraged from even trying. But secondly, people are discouraged from studying because they do not realize the great blessings that await them from such a study. The blessings from God are motivating factors that should provoke us to study. The relevance of the Scriptures ought to cause us to study them. Friend, if you will read the 119th Psalm, you will be impressed with the usefulness and the blessings of the Word of God. Today, many have accepted the claim of skeptics that the Bible is unfit for our modern age. It is not true that the Bible is out of date. It is not true that the Bible is unfit. The trouble is it's unstudied, unlearned, untried, unapplied. There's the problem. But until one does appreciate the potential, he's likely to pass it by. The blessings that can be derived can be classed into two categories. There are eternal blessings and the temporal blessings to be enjoyed even here in this life. The Bible gives us the guidance to an abundant life here and the hereafter. Now, James teaches that the Word is able to save our soul, James 1:21. The gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. And this is the primary purpose of the Bible study, namely to learn the way to heaven. But this life is not all that there is to our existence, you see. We must be concerned about the life after our physical death. And the Bible is the only sure and safe guide. It tells us who we are, from whence we have come, why we are here, what to do while we are here, and where we are going. But the blessings of this knowledge of truth are also something enjoyed in this life as well. Matthew 6 and verse 33 reads, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And Jesus was speaking of the necessities of this life. God will provide if we seek Him first. And this includes growing in grace and in knowledge, 2 Peter 3:18. We're taught to study, 2 Timothy 2:15. We cannot claim to be seeking God first if we neglect to learn His ways. But when we do seek His ways, He is mindful of us and will provide for us. The psalmist shows that a man who loves God's Word is blessed in this life. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. A true guide to genuine happiness is found in the Bible. People pursue happiness from so many sources, but God's way is the way that promises and assures success. Do you want a true guide to blessedness? Turn to the Bible. Do you want to have the burdens of sin lifted? Turn to the Bible and learn what God has done for you and what He calls upon you to do. Do you want to avoid many of the pitfalls and conflicts suffered by so many in this life due to sin? Then follow the lead of the Word of God. Do you want to be the right kind of father or mother, son or daughter? The Bible tells you what you must do and what you must know. Do you want to love others and be loved in return? The answer is taught in the Bible. Friend, if there was no heaven, much of the blessedness of Bible knowledge would be removed, to be sure. But there are so many wonderful blessings even now. We do not have to wait until heaven to benefit from Bible study. People who fail to realize this rob themselves and do not study. Possibly more than some of the other reasons, people do not study because they lack the conviction that is absolutely necessary. This, of course, reveals a disrespect for the Word of the Almighty God. The Bible can be shown to have come from God. It shows how man has shown his disrespect to God by ignoring and rejecting and failing to obey the Word of God. Too many consider God's Word as optional, something you can take or leave with equal benefit and no fear of difficulty in just leaving it alone. Even religious people talk about loving the Lord, but they do not obey the Lord's words. Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments," John 14 and verse 15. "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke 6:46. But many are not even aware of what his commandments are. No wonder they do not do them. They are not aware because they do not study. A classic example of what we have in mind is the case of Eve in the Garden of Eden. God gave certain instructions, but she did not respect them. She went another way. She followed the seductions of Satan. She thought it was but a little thing. She considered it to be a wise choice on her part. She figured going the way that she chose was just as good as the way that God had directed. Now, Eve was not an atheist. She did not repudiate God's existence. She did not refuse to worship Him. She did not deny His power. She did not blaspheme His name, nor was she a moral degenerate. She was not guilty of stealing what belonged to some other. She murdered nobody. She merely took a piece of fruit, ate it, and gave it to her husband to eat also. What could be less offensive? What could appear to be less degrading than that? Why was this such a terrible thing to do? It was because she did not respect the necessity of the Word of God. For this same reason, many do not study. Eve knew that the Word of God was, and she paid no attention to it, even though she did know what it was. And many today do not even know what God wants because they do not respect Him. It would seem that people would open their eyes and look around them and see that man left to himself to guide his own steps is a failure. Proverbs 14:12 teaches, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Jeremiah taught, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." Jeremiah 10, verse 23. Jesus taught, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Matthew 4 and verse 4. "My beloved, it is God's truth that will make us free." John 8 and verse 32. "And that truth is His word." John 17, 17. God's Word tells us of our lost condition and our inability to save ourselves by ourselves and how God has provided a Savior and that the Savior is Jesus the Christ. And it tells us how to come to Him. No other source in the world provides us this vital information. It is only reasonable to think that since God loves man, He will offer to man what is needful. It is equally reasonable that if a man loves God, he will earnestly seek to know God's will. But when there is this lack of conviction on the part of man, he will not study. This lack of conviction is evident in many who profess to be children of God, depending on Christ to save them. Just look at the opportunities for Bible study that are offered in every congregation, but ignored by so many who profess to be members of the church. My friend, this is not the way it ought to be. Now let us summarize these three lessons briefly as we seek an answer to the question, why do people not see the Bible alike? God gave one faith. That faith has not changed since Pentecost. Man's basic nature has not changed. Therefore, we can learn why there is division when we learn why people did not see the Lord's will alike when He was here upon the earth. At the root of the problem is ignorance of what God has taught. Some are ignorant because they have not studied. Some are ignorant even though they have studied, because they've been deceived, thinking something is true when it is not true. They have been led by others and not seriously questioned or searched for themselves what is right or what is wrong. They not only have not learned and have not understood, but many have accepted a misunderstanding, being deceived. People are willing to remain deceived because they're just too proud to admit that they could be in error. Their conceit prevents them from even subjecting what they believe to investigation. And by comparing themselves to themselves and to others around them, they have failed to measure by the only standard that is reliable, and that is the Word of God. They too often are governed by the productions from the minds of men and just follow blindly. Some do not study because it's hard work. Some do not study because they fail to see the blessings available. Some do not study because they have no respect for God and they lack conviction of the need for Bible study. But we can know, and we can know that we know. God has not made our salvation dependent upon the Word and then made it so we can't understand it. Whether we be in the church or still in the world, we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. The only standard is the Scripture. It is inspired, infallible, inerrant, all-sufficient, and authoritative. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 so teaches. All matters must be measured by it. And when people do that, they will see the Bible alike, and that's what God expects of us all. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.